What the head of the Federal Reserve just said about more emergency government spending. The person who is arguably the most powerful single policymaker in the country is Jerome Powell, chair of the Federal Reserve. During an online webinar just now, Powell took the rare step of urging Congress and the White House to spend more money to prop up the economy.
The recovery may take some time to gather momentum, and the passage of time can turn liquidity problems into solvency problems. Additional fiscal support could be costly, but worth it if it helps avoid long-term damage and leaves us with a stronger recovery. This trade-off is one for our elected representatives who wield powers of taxation and spending.
Powell spoke remotely to an event hosted today by the Peterson Institute for International Economics. Let's now turn to Susan Schmidt in Chicago. She's head of U.S. equities at Aviva Investors. Good morning.
Good morning.
This is interesting from the head of the Fed today. He wasn't beaten around the bush when it comes to, hey, Congress, spend more money to fix this.
Exactly right. Chairman Powell has been very direct in that we need to support the economy through this crisis. And I think what's most interesting here is he is saying outright to Congress, spend what you need to spend to avoid more economic damage. So it's really interesting because here the chairman of the Fed is very obviously appealing to Congress and also showing that the Fed can only do so much. It's most effective when the Fed and central bank works with fiscal policy, the government, when the two are working together is when really it has the most impact on the economy. And that's what he's urging to happen.
And his assessment of the economy this morning, it is not upbeat, Susan.
Well, I think, remember that the Fed is always cautionary and they're not risk takers. Instead of being quiet about this, I think what's interesting is that Chairman Powell is coming out and saying we could have long-term economic damage. Therefore, we need to support the economy. And while it might be costly in the near term, longer term, if it creates a stronger recovery, that's by far the best path. And I think what we're seeing here is the Fed willing to take that risk and the short-term cost up front to create the stronger recovery longer term.
Susan Schmidt, head of U.S. equities at Aviva Investors. Thank you.
Thank you.
In early trading, the Dow is down 200 points, 0.8%. S&P down 0.7%. The NASDAQ is down slightly, 4 points. Some prominent brands are reportedly cutting back on some of the advertising they had promised to buy on TV networks. The Wall Street Journal is mentioning names like Pepsi and General Motors. Janine Poggi is senior editor at Ad Age. Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
So we're stuck at home watching more TV than planned. So it's not an audience thing, right, Janine? It's that advertisers are having their own troubles and they want to cut costs?
Absolutely. There's very little visibility right now, of course, not only from their own businesses. You know, they don't know how they're going to be operating in a couple of months. So, you know, they're looking to cut costs. But then also from, you know, the TV perspective, yes, absolutely. People at home, they're watching more content than ever. But come the fall, it's unclear right now what content will even be able to be produced. And there's also a huge gap in the TV ecosystem with no live sports.
Now, maybe I should ask a lawyer, but can the advertisers just do this? Say, sorry, we were committed to something, but we're not going to pay you quite as much?
Yes. So the way it works is companies have the option to cancel up to 50% of their third quarter ad spending. And that sort of went into effect May 1st, was about around the first time that they could actually pull out of some of these commitments. So there is flexibility in these ad deals to do exactly this.
The Wall Street Journal been reporting this could be as much as $1.5 billion in advertising that's being pulled back. I mean, is that a lot or a little? It's a large ecosystem here, TV advertising.
It's definitely a large amount, but you also have to remember, especially right now, is that there are a couple of things that were coming up, big sporting events that are just not there anymore where money would have been spent. The NCAA tournament, which was supposed to be in March, that didn't happen. The Olympics, of course, in the summer, not happening until 2021. The hope of the industry is that when these things come back, that money that would have been spent now will be shifted to that time. So that's, you know, the big question mark of, you know, if and when some of these sporting events come back, will the money follow?
Always good to talk to Janine Poggi. She's senior editor at Ad Age. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
Researchers at the University of Michigan find nearly half of all residential properties in Detroit went through some sort of foreclosure between 2005 and 2015. Now, given the pandemic, county officials there have temporarily stopped foreclosing for unpaid taxes. WDET's Eli Newman has more.
Shanita Jones struggled to pay her property tax bills when she started taking care of her young nieces and nephews. She's one of the estimated 30,000 homeowners in Detroit and Wayne County dealing with penalties and fees that come with unpaid taxes. Michigan passed a law to erase that kind of debt right before the COVID-19 outbreak. Jones said then the assistance was life-changing.
My property tax bill will go from being just under $400 a month to just under $50 a month.
But now, Jones is not working her usual job as a hospice nurse, and she's concerned about even paying that bill. While mortgage foreclosure happens when you default on a loan, many of Detroit's foreclosures occur when owners don't pay taxes on their properties, and the government takes over. Wayne County Treasurer Eric Sabree is stopping that procedure for now.
People are making some serious decisions on their finances and with their life.
This is part of an effort by the government to encourage people to stay at home. Also, Wayne County doesn't have enough staff at the moment to process tax foreclosures. But Sabree says people still need to pay off the interest on their debt.
They continue to pay. It won't be under so much hardship next year.
Wayne County estimates roughly 10,000 properties were scheduled for tax foreclosure this year, including about 3,200 owner-occupied homes. But most Detroiters rent and can be hurt by predatory landlords who don't pay taxes. Michelle Oberholzer is the director of tax foreclosure prevention for United Community Housing Coalition. She says Detroit's worst landlords are getting a break, while the rent's still due every month.
It is another situation where those who are already exploiting are getting an additional advantage, even though it feels like we just got a social victory.
Foreclosure pushed thousands of homes into vacancy after the last recession. Detroit spent millions in federal funding over the last decade to demolish empty homes that fell into disrepair. Now, that money is drying up as the city grapples with a new economic crisis. In Detroit, I'm Eli Newman for Marketplace.
And I'm David Brancaccio, Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.